Right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sola Hong, the coordinator of Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Thanks for listening to our Diversity Podcast Season 2. For this episode, it's my great pleasure to have Dr. Ana Lopez Anguilera from the Department of Languages and Indigenous Studies to share her insights and experience as we celebrate Hispanic heritage. So welcome, and thank you so much, Ana.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share and talk with you.
So what does a typical day look like being an assistant professor of Spanish at Bemidji State University?
Well, a typical day looks like waking up very early and checking the weather. Everyone is scaring me about the weather in northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Then it goes back to teaching, meeting with the students, college, grading, planning classes, attending presentations, and usually answering a lot of emails.
So what courses are you teaching now in this semester?
I'm teaching two language Spanish classes, one at the elementary level and another one at the intermediate level. Mm-hmm. And then I teach a class on telenovelas, soap operas. Mm-hmm. So we watch scenes from the soap operas, yeah. And then we discuss topics that they're presented in the telenovelas.
Is there any like research project that you're working on right now?
Yeah, actually I'm working on an anthology of Hispanic ecofeminism. I'm trying to bring together some authors that from this Spanish speaking context that they connect feminist and ecological thinking.
Cool. Sounds good. So how long have you been working in this area, teaching Spanish? How long have you been doing that?
I have been doing that for 15 years. I did that first in Spain, foreign students who came to study there. And then when I moved to the United States, I started teaching Spanish at the university level, first like a teaching assistant while I was doing my PhD. And then as a faculty member for the last years.
So what made you go into this career?
I used to work in the private sector as a translator. That was my first degree translation. But first it was very lonely. So when I realized I was talking to my computer as if it were a person, I decided to need to... career chain. And education allows me two things, to be in contact with other people and also to keep studying, and that's important to me.
Sounds good. So by far, what would be the most inspiring part of your job, like working in a higher ed environment, connecting with students? What would you say be the most inspiring part of your job?
That's a good question. I think it's, it's being in contact with people with from different backgrounds, with different ideas, and having to keep that, to keep in mental shape to address all those challenges. So new ideas, new perspectives that they bring and discuss in class and outside of class, like with colleagues and conferences and presentations.
So going back to the first day you work as a Spanish professor, what did it look like?
Very different than now. What I remember is I was, I think I was very insecure, so I needed to, I felt I needed to have control of everything. And to know all the answers. Now what I feel when I enter the class is that I have the resources to address anything that comes, any question, but I don't feel I need to have that control, like I need to know what is going on every moment. So that's more relaxing now.
Sure.
Also more gray hair.
And so what do you see yourself in 5 years then?
Hopefully doing the same. still teaching because students are different every semester. Keep studying and also hopefully publishing more.
So if you are not teaching in the university, what profession would you like to attempt?
Any profession that will have to deal with plants, like gardening or, I don't know. Yeah, I would love to be a gardener.
Okay. Is there any profession that you would never give it a try at all?
I will never be a nurse or a doctor. I will just faint when I see any sign of blood.
So during your career path, is there any role model that you have been looking up to? And how has your role model impacted you?
I have been very lucky that in any place I had been, there were always someone who was helping me to be a better person. So I could, I have many role models. If I had to mention two, it will be one group will be the women I have met in all my life, from my the women in my family to female colleagues to even female bosses. Because I can summarize their teaching in one sentence: is study so that you can get a good job, so that you can be economically independent, so you don't need to rely on other person. That is very important for women, I think. And then my advisor, when I did my dissertation, he has always been like a role model for me of the type of academic I wanted to be. He's an academic who doesn't stay in the ivory tower, who go out and the research that you do, the things that you study and you read is to help other people. I always remember when we talk about writing, he always told me, when you write something, always ask yourself, is this thing that I'm writing, is this paper conference going to help the human game, the people out there? If it is, go ahead. If not, try to find something else to write.
So have you ever entered any challenge on campus as having part of the identity as a person from an underrepresented group?
Not on campus. Actually, personally, to me, it's very difficult to fit in one of those groups because there is always something that doesn't fit exactly. So, for example, if you tell me, if I write down in the census, what group are you? Okay, Hispanic. But is Hispanic white? So that's different. If, for example, if I go back to Europe, I'm a Latina, but I'm not Latina in America because there are two different definitions of Latino or Latina. So it's kind of, okay, where are you going to fit me? Even, and this is funny, this is something that I always tell people here. When I travel between Spain and the United States, in Spain I'm tall. When I fly back, I just shrink because here I'm average or short. Because physically, people are different. So whenever you are going to be different. If I had to say one group or one minority group that caused me some challenge, it will be my accent and the ability to communicate in a second language. Because I belong to a profession, the academia, that were being able to communicate in an elaborate and sophisticated way is highly valued. So when you use your second language, that's very hard. So sometimes they don't perceive you as at the same level, I will say intellectually, than they are because you had an accent, or maybe you didn't pick the right word, or you didn't pick even the right preposition.
So how do you motivate yourself to help you overcome those challenges?
I will say that I'm lucky enough I don't pay attention to those situations most of the time. But also I'm lucky that I can study that. I study history and sociology, so that's a way to study on why humans behave this way. Mm-hmm. So being aware of that, having the knowledge to deal with that, is mm-hmm. makes easier to face the real situation.
Sure. So what do you think of the need of recognizing Hispanic heritage on campus, and how do you see your role in the
mm-hmm.
planning, for example, in planning those types of events and etc.?
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting question, as one that I had been asking myself for the last days. Because if we talk about Hispanic heritage, what type of heritage are we talking about? For example, coming from a Spanish person,
mm-hmm.
it will be, okay, the heritage that a Spanish conquistador left was a very
mm-hmm.
negative one. It
mm-hmm.
was kind of very violent. But then, on the other side, I think nowadays there is a need to recognize Hispanic heritage in the United States, because
mm-hmm.
Hispanic population is at this moment is being misrepresented in media,
mm-hmm.
and is a minority group here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a public duty for any public institution to support
mm-hmm.
any minority group. So.
Sure.
For example, if I were in Spain, I wouldn't celebrate it, or I wouldn't encourage that, because at this moment, Hispanic heritage is used in Spain to repress
mm-hmm.
other minorities, like regional minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends where you are, your
sure.
social or historical context,
right, right.
The need is different.
So what do you see as some biggest trends of enhancing the Hispanic heritage awareness in higher education in the future?
I think increasing the number of Hispanic students
mm-hmm.
It will help, and addressing the special circumstances or needs of those groups, for example, being first generation, many of them, or having maybe less resources to,
mm-hmm.
to go into higher education, or there are special even needs for Latinas, like women.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this when I was studying at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
We realized that we didn't get many female students from the Hispanic community
mm-hmm.
compared to male students.
Mm-hmm.
We asked around, and we realized that parents didn't want to let their daughters to
mm-hmm.
go to university in another city. They wanted them to study in their own city so they could stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that will be one of the things to increase the number of Hispanic students. And the other one is when Hispanic heritage is celebrated or
mm-hmm.
when there's some recognition at the university, don't just stay in the shallow
mm-hmm.
aspect of the culture, of the things that you are celebrating. Just go deeper, and don't just
right.
keep festivities or fiestas. Reflect or think of what is behind all those
mm-hmm.
festivities or fiestas. And I think that's what we are doing with the activities that we are going to do next week.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What will be your best experience during your time at BSU by far?
I like that the students, they usually are very determined to express their
mm-hmm.
opinion in class, their point of view. They
mm-hmm.
don't shy away of that.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a place where that's not so common, so I appreciate
right.
that, because that means that they are more, they like to think on their own, so
yeah.
that's always good.
And what would be your least favorite thing to see on campus, if you had to pick one?
It's no.
Okay, good to hear. How do you balance your work and life? So during your spare time, what would be your favorite thing to do to relax?
Mm-hmm. I like cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I am not very good at it. I try it. And I also like watching TV shows.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any favorite TV show by far now?
Okay, I've been watching the Great British Baking Show.
Okay.
I think it's kind of very interesting to see a foreign perspective on
mm-hmm.
baking.
Yeah. Is your, in your professional life or personal life, Do you have any regrets, or is there anything you would go back and change?
No. Actually, quite the opposite. I kind of know, I can guess the type of person I would be if I would have stayed in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would like it. I like the person I am now. It has been very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't change it.
Cool. What would be your one piece of advice for inspiring Hispanic students or students who learn about Hispanic language and culture?
Study history of your group or of the Hispanic community, if you are studying that. And question what it seems to be common sense of general ideas about those groups.
Mm-hmm.
Always question what they tell you to believe.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the interview today.
Thank you.